We're really lucky tonight to have Brooke Cuden joining us, and Brooke has been on the Roadhouse a couple times before. She's been in the community to play at the ACA a couple times before. She's here this weekend, and particularly tomorrow night, starting at 7:30 for a production called Sophie. And we're just so happy. Brooke, of course, being a classical pianist and just a fantastic talent. She currently lives in Amsterdam and has about 30 students and performs several places around Europe as well as in the U.S. Brooke, welcome back to the Roadhouse.
Thanks, Buck. It's nice to be here in your new building. I hadn't seen it before today, so.
Isn't this something?
Yeah, it's great.
Pretty fancy,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And you brought along a friend from Amsterdam who's an, of course, integral part of this production tomorrow night. Andreas is a choreographer. Maybe you can talk a little bit about Andreas and how what he brings to your performance as well.
Sure. Together. Actually, and the show is called Sophie and Concert. Sophie was an existing show for a half hour. It's a dance show about a drunken Russian carpenter. And when I saw it, I said, because Andreas is a friend of mine, I said, well, why don't we collaborate and create a show together? So that's, I'm the and concert, and he's the Sophie. Mm-hmm. And what we did was worked with, Andreas is a choreographer and dancer, a German choreographer and dancer, and he lives in Amsterdam as well. And we asked the director to help us combine classical music with his concert. And so actually I chose music that was integrally related to his production, and we worked with the director, and we came up with Sophie and Concert.
Now, is this something that you you worked out together?
Mm-hmm.
This is a brand new production. This isn't something somebody else wrote and you're doing it.
No, this is a world premiere tomorrow night in Grand Marais, Minnesota,
huh?
At the Arrowhead Center for the Arts.
Yeah, that has to take a lot of artistic effort to come up with something, an hour and a half production like this. It was original music too, or did you pick out music that just...
No, I chose music. It's all classical music, and I chose it after seeing Andreas as part of the show. I chose the music, and then we put him together with the music and created the whole show. So yeah, it's original ideas, but the music is already existing.
How long have you been a dance performer, Andreas?
Hello. Yeah.
There you go.
Hello, this is me.
You're hiding behind the computer. Actually, you're not hiding, but the computer's in the way.
The computer, yeah. Hello. How long I'm a choreographer? Well, 20 years, 25 years, well, a long time. And I started very late dancing, and I was 23. I worked, before I worked with handicapped people. Do you say that?
Handicapped?
Yes.
And I decided to start dancing, and after a while start making pieces and put my creativity in making dance pieces. And at the moment I'm a choreographer and a dancer and have my own company in Amsterdam.
That's quite a jump to go from working with people with special needs to deciding that all of a sudden, hey, I want to dance. Now, you must have had some inkling that, hey, this is something I really enjoy before that.
That is true. I always danced, and I danced with the handicapped people, and I usually I originally wanted to become a therapist, so this was the way in between. But then I decided, actually, I'm going to be a better dancer than a therapist.
Okay.
I found out, actually.
Now, how did you find Andreas, Brooke?
Well, I worked on a production with him, actually, 2 years ago. He was doing a show for a huge festival in Holland, and the pianist wasn't able to play the show, and so they asked me to fill in as a pianist. And actually, I remember that was the first show I'd ever done on top of a scaffolding. The first time I ever met, any words I had with Andreas, he asked me, are you afraid of heights? I said, why? He said, well, because this show you have to sit on a scaffolding with a keyboard and play in high winds. And I said, well, okay, I'll give it a shot.
Now that sounds like a challenge.
It was an outdoors production.
She was great. It was very, very windy and in the rehearsals and also sometimes during the shows. And they really were first floor up in the wind and doing a good job there.
Now, I understand that you like to use a lot of props.
That's
as an integral part of what you do.
Yeah, that's my specialty. I like to use normal objects like chairs, cups, washing machines, saws, to integrate in my pieces. I get ideas from it, and it's also nice for the people to see what a in what for unusual way I can use an object. Mm-hmm. So in my piece Sophie, I use a lot of wooden planks, and they are organized like graves. It's also the theme of the piece, like Rauen.
Death and grieving.
Yeah, death and grieving. So the planks with the lights together, they become a kind of new dimension, and I like to work with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds pretty wild, actually. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night, because you're going to be stumbling around like a drunk, as I understand it, and yet being able to dance, that's got to be a little bit of a trick in itself.
Well, I have two good glasses on stage, and the rest is
water.
Oh, okay. These two glasses are very
that's all it takes.
Nice moments, yeah.
Okay.
But I should say one thing about the boards and things that he works with in the show. We actually spent yesterday morning and this morning at the high school working with students, and they also were given a board and tried to figure out things that they could do with it. It was really interesting to see how well that they could do that. How, you know, you give something to somebody and you think, okay, do something with this that's unconventional, and they were able to do it. So it was really fun for us to work with students, I think. Mm. With that.
And to use their imagination.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, hand me a board and I'd pound a nail in it. I wouldn't know what else to do, but
what it does is it allows them to tell a story in a different way. It allows them to see things from a different perspective, and that's really what dance can be if it's done well, is that you're telling a story, obviously, but you're telling it in a way that you wouldn't think of it some other way. So having the props and having things that move around on stage and aren't necessarily planned works very well. It's be very exciting to see.
Yeah, I think Dave should join the troupe.
Yeah. Well, do you want to help out?
I have to confess, my sister was in modern dance for many years when I was a kid, and I would go and watch rehearsals. And one of my favorite things that they did, actually, was when Mylar balloons first came out, the silvery plastic balloons, they put a whole bunch of these Mylar balloons in the studio space where they practiced and just did their normal warm-ups.
Oh.
And these balloons were interacting with them. I mean, there were like 30 or 40 of these balloons, and they were kicking them around. And I used to joke about it, you know, as a kid would. It's like, oh, yeah, they're just kicking silver pillows, and they're calling that dance. It was really quite beautiful. And looking back at it, I think, you know, that was really fun and really interesting. And when I heard what you were doing, that was exactly the picture that came to my mind, was that completely random interaction is a fabulous thing.
Yeah.
You know, Brooke brought a keyboard in here.
I did.
Yeah, and we're just making her talk.
Right. You know, maybe it'd be fun if she might be able to play as well as Andreas. I think he's got a saw in his hand.
He does.
Andreas brought a saw.
Yeah.
And Dave Grinstead, who donated the keyboard for tonight, would probably be disappointed if I didn't play something.
Now, are you going to use a saw on the keyboard, Andreas, if Dave is
listening?
I think he's rushing up here right now.
We'll let the listeners decide if he's sawing the keyboard or sawing a board.
So. Okay.
What I thought, I don't want to give the whole show away, but the opening piece that I play is a prelude from Rachmaninoff, a Russian composer. Of course, Russian is a theme. And what we did was try to combine, as I said, the Sophie with the concert and also the dance with the music. So what we decided to do in the beginning was I opened my part of the show by playing the opening bars with the Rachmaninoff, and then Andreas begins to saw. You'll see how it interacts as we play. We'll just play the first bit of it.
Great.
Yeah?
It's not a long, but it's a very important moment.
We're ready.
He ran, it was sawed in two, so I stopped.
He ran out of board before he ran out of tune.
That's okay. But that's a little bit of the opening number. There was another number that I wanted just to play. Little bit of another piece, a totally different piece, but that gives an idea of the range and gamut of pieces that we're doing in the show. Mm-hmm. As the only woman in the show, or the the only other person in the show, we let the audience decide who I am in relationship to this drunken Russian carpenter, and that you know, we won't say anything. And actually, it's left a little bit open. But as a result, we do sometimes there's a love relationship, sometimes there's a wife relationship, or
those are different.
Yeah.
apparently, Dave.
I knew there'd be one moment where I put my foot in my mouth and I was, you know, so I turned red.
Sorry.
Or that I'm his daughter or whatever. But anyway, this is the love duet, and we don't dance it together. I play and he does some other things. But anyway, I just thought the music was interesting for the people. It's called a milonga, like a tango, and it's from Argentina, and it's from the composer Ginastera.
Cuten for everybody out there. That's just great. It's really fun to listen to that.
That's a beautiful piece.
Somebody's so good.
Yeah, and a little stab in the back at the end.
Yeah. You'll see it all dance before your eyes as you listen on Saturday night.
Well, we can picture it already.
Okay.
Brooke, tell us a little bit about your classical piano history. You started very young.
Yeah, I started playing when I was 5 or 6 and had a mother who sat next to me every day and helped me to practice, but she swears that I never complained. I don't know about that. Because my own daughter plays the violin and she often complains about playing. But anyway, I did enjoy playing, and it is true that I quickly moved ahead, and my job as a 13-year-old was not working in the grocery store, but accompanying the church choir and also playing the organ. So I was intricately involved with music actually most of my life, and my family was also musical. And at a certain point, I decided I want to do this and study it. And I went to the Northwestern to do the music school there. And then from then on, I just continued. So teaching has also been a very important part, teaching piano students and performing. And in the last 3 or 4 years, performing in combination with theater shows, because I think it's really important to bring classical music in these days, to bring classical music to audiences who might not normally go to a classical music concert and who might think, oh, I'll just go to a theater show or dance or whatever. And I think it's important that the classical music can be combined. And if you're flexible, I think, as a musician, then even in these days and times, you can find work.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that is, you know, with the popularity of all different types of music now, mm-hmm. classical music has kind of, it's just not out there as much in concert, mm-hmm. at least here in this area. I'm sure it is
everywhere. Yep.
So working with Andreas and working with other people is how you can get that out there.
Yeah, I think it's really important, especially also because I do a lot with children And young adults, I think it's really important that they, that at an early age they're exposed to things like this, and that they really have a chance to appreciate it. It's not the highbrow elite music that they think it is, you know. It's really, it says a lot, and it's all emotions that they feel too. And I think if you can bring that across, I think that that's a really important part of performing, is that you're not just playing in the concert hall in a long black dress and only a few people show up. I think you have to bring it to an audience. You have to come to the audience and not expect that they'll come to you.
You know, it's funny, in visual arts like movies and television shows and whatnot, classical music is used just for the emotions, to bring those things out, and yet I don't think people think of that.
Yeah.
They don't relate that music to where it comes from.
Right. Well, that's why I think if you have a screen before you and you see a video and you're hearing the music, you're actually also experiencing the music, but you're right, you're not completely aware, but you think, oh, what a beautiful soundtrack, who was that? And you hear, oh, it was Rachmaninoff or Mozart. Yeah. You know, and well, people wouldn't maybe buy a CD from Mozart, they'd buy the soundtrack from that movie, because that's... So I think it's just an idea that people have, that classical music is not accessible, or I don't like it because I've heard a piece of Bach and I didn't like that piece. I think there's such a variety of music, and that's hopefully what I also can show people in this show, is that we've put together a group of composers that are actually very, very different, and there's a little bit for everybody in the show, I think, tomorrow night.
Now, you said your mother Mary sat there next to you.
Next to me, yeah.
To listen, to make sure you were practicing and doing things right, et cetera. Yeah. But you also had a sister and a brother, or have a sister and a brother. Did she do the same to them?
Yeah, she did.
But now,
for example, my sister wasn't interested for whatever reason. So she went on to be a psychologist. And my brother actually sort of went his own way, and he chose the drums. So for obvious reasons, my mother didn't sit next to him when he practiced. She went upstairs and put earplugs in. But no, he's a drummer in Nashville. And so he plays country and rock and roll. But even sometimes I've collaborated with him, and we've played classical music with a good drum beat behind it. So
now, we've had musicians in here and friends of ours here in Cook County who have started out classically trained, but they moved over to their own style, whatever style of music that drew them. Is that a temptation for you at times?
To move to another style?
A more popular form of music?
Yeah, I've done... I've done like background music and elevator music, as they call it, and I've even sat in a jazz band or in a rock band, but that's a different style, and I'm trained as a classical pianist, so that's kind of the route that I follow, and to switch over, it's a completely different field, so I do it sometimes for fun, but my main focus, my work is with...
We have Lindsay McIntyre, who has a local connection here too, and she was classically trained as a cellist and played in symphony, and she just decided, hey, I'd rather do this other thing, and she started playing her cello up, you know, like this, like a guitar, and creating her own music, and it's just... But the classical training shows there, because she still has that background.
Well, that's the thing. If you're classically trained, you have the technique to go to any style you want. And I know she's done really well with her own style, with the plucking of the cello. And that's something that, you know, you can also broaden a little bit and create your own style. And especially if you have the technique. Technique is actually just being able to do whatever it is you want to do. And if you're classically trained, you have a better base. I know a lot of students in Amsterdam, their parents will come to me and say, we want our child to study piano, but no classical music, please. And I say, well, I just teach them to play the piano, and then later they can decide what style. So,
sure.
I have a friend in the Twin Cities who is a very talented musician, and one of the things that he said to me one day is, why would anybody ignore hundreds of years of written music? You know, most young people really only want to play music that's from the last 20 years or the last 10 years or even the last 50 years, and there's hundreds of years of music, not necessarily all classical per se, but there's so much music out there that you can play. But what he said was that being classically trained gives you the technique, gives you the chops, gives you the musicality and the ability to be able to play any of those things and read it and sit down and understand what this person was saying from any time period or from any style of music.
Yeah.
I think that's a really, really important thing for people to understand, that, you know, while some people may or may not love classical music, it's a means to an end that gets you there musically that you can't get any other way.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I think it's very important for who's ever studying music that you get a good base, and whatever way you can get that is I think you're right. It's a goal that you have is to be able to play music, and however you can reach it is fine. But it's very often the way of playing scales and playing, you know, pieces. And I think even composers, I think what's really important is that you get a wide variety of pieces as a student or as studying music, because you can learn a lot from Mozart, but you can also learn a lot from what's being written now. I know a lot of people shy also away from modern music. Oh, it sounds terrible, I don't understand it. But it's what's being written now. So I think if you keep a really open mind for everything, for pop or hip hop or whatever it happens to be, I don't know that we should put a label on music, especially for students who are studying. I think everything should be looked at.
It's music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andreas, not many of us here, not many people here locally grew up with dance, and I was fortunate to grow up with a little bit of, you know, tap dancing and ballet and stuff, but as an expression, it's a little harder for people to understand how your mind thinks to get that story out, as Dave was talking about a story. Can you talk a little bit about that? I don't know if I was clear enough in that question.
How do you create a story with your dancing?
How does your mind work to get there?
I have different influences when I create a piece. It can happen on a table in a bar, like someone is putting a plastic bottle on my head, and then I put it back. So we said, shall we make a piece about action reaction or chain reactions? So we made it. We made a piece about a chain reaction. So the whole piece was one big chain reaction. And this is one example how I get an idea. Sophie and Concert was actually based on the theme that you lose someone who you love, and everyone does once in a while. We all die somewhere somehow. So I decided to make a piece about that, and my surrounding was. My idea was first full of glass. I want glass because glass is a material which breaks. I have to say that I also work as a set designer, so I'm always creating my surroundings where I dance in myself. And so I thought, glass is the material. I have to dance in glass. And I did, I tried, it's possible. But it was much too heavy. So out of that, I developed. My neighbor had pallets, and he had a lot of wood in the store. And so I saw that wood, and I said, "Okay, let's take wood. It's so much lighter than glass." And put a glass of vodka on top of it. So I combined that. So it's most of the time my ideas just developing, and I start somewhere, and during a process, I get somewhere. It's like you write a book. You have an idea, you start a story, and after a while you make a structure, a big structure, and then you focus on something something small, and then you explore that.
Yeah, the tools, as Brooke was talking about, the tools of classical music, the tools that you use are so different. It's hard for my mind to get around, okay, I want to do a dance for a specific emotion or a specific happening. I wouldn't have the tools to know how to get there. So that must be where your background comes in, and you know how to do that?
Yes. Well, yeah, I'm busy with it.
Yeah. Time,
but you have to start somewhere. So I started just freaking out in a discotheque and started improvisations, did some Tai Chi, even did Tai Chi once when I was younger. So a lot of mime improvisation, music improvisation workshops. So once in a while, slowly you get your own style, and you know, I'm not a ballet dancer. So I found out I'm not a ballet dancer. My body is not built like that. I'm too old anyway already. So I decided to go a modern dance direction. And what is modern dance? I didn't even know about it. A friend of mine did modern dance, so I went with her to a kind of audition, and I looked like a sportsman there. and all this young ladies with the tiny little
tutus,
and they were there around me. So I slowly jumped in the dance scene, and I did the Rotterdamse Dance Academy in Holland. And in Germany, I did a sort of old-fashioned modern dance school, private school, based on Rudolf van Laban, which is a kind of a creator of modern dance in Europe. In America, you have Mary Wigman and Martha Graham and the whole story about that. And so slowly, I developed my own style as a dancer, and using my own skills and also developing my own skills. So I'm moving like normal, actually. But when I sit on a chair and I repeat that several times, it's getting into a dance. So a normal movement can be a dance, but also can also look like normal. It depends on the circumstances, the surrounding you place it.
Mm-hmm. In context.
Context, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you're putting, essentially, my words, modern dance and somewhat improvisationally derived dance with classical music to tell an old story, a new story. It's an interesting contrast, and it'll be fun to see how it all goes together. I'm very excited about it.
Come and look. It's very hard to talk about it. It's very easy to look and to just
and do it.
Experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we're speaking with Andreas Denk and Brooke Cuden. They're going to be performing their what should we call it? Production, I guess, because we're combining various mediums.
Multimedia production.
Yeah, and that's happening tomorrow night up at the Arrowhead Center for the Arts. For you folks that aren't familiar with the ACA here in Grand Marais in Cook County, it's up right next to the school, Cook County High School. So easy to find. Ask anybody. And 7:30, and I believe you can buy tickets right there.
You can at the door, and before there's a silent auction
from
6 o'clock. So.
To benefit the North Shore Music Association.
Yeah, we should give that a plug, too. There will be a lot of really interesting things there, a lot of interesting gift certificates from different businesses around the community, and some interesting items, too.
Yeah, and that starts at 6, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And 7:30 is the production. Brooke, have you got some more music that you could do?
Sure, I could do a closing number. How much time do I have?
We've got a few minutes left.
All right, I'll play the rest of the milonga. I think that's nice. Maybe the whole thing. And I have to say, for a very young guest who's listening, Anna Rose, hello from Mama. This is the milonga from Ginastera. Thank you.
Wow, that's just beautiful, isn't it?
That is
just beautiful. Thank you, Brooke.
Thank you.
I think she did more damage to the piano during that piece than Andreas did with the saw.
It was shaking a little
bit. Yeah, it was rocking.
Dave, don't worry. I'll bring it back in one piece.
Mary, you did an awfully good job with your daughter, even though you had to sit there to make sure she didn't run off.
Yeah, I didn't mention she tied me down, but we'll leave that out of the picture.
No. Okay, we won't bring it. We won't go that far with
Wasn't that a scene in Sybil?
Yeah, could have been.
That's another interview, right?
That could be another interview, yeah.
That would be your psychologist sister?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. You know, that kind of, I listen to that, and I just kind of want to close my eyes and drift wherever it takes me, because it's so emotional, that kind of music. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just great. Mm-hmm. Andreas, have you ever heard her make a mistake?
What?
Have you? See, he hasn't.
Let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
Make a what?
I asked if you'd ever heard her make a mistake.
Never.
No.
Never.
That was the right answer,
Brooke
by
is,
the way.
Brooke is one of the Brooke is a pianist. I never saw a pianist carrying so many planks with me in the car, out the car, on stage, back in the car.
Yeah.
So she's really doing a great job.
Well, that's good. If that's all you have to do, Brooke.
I've got it made.
You got it made, I think, yeah.
Well, they're not mistakes, they're improvisations.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in here tonight, and we look forward to your concert tomorrow night, your production. That's 7:30 again at the ACA. It's called Sophie.
In concert.
And once again, yeah, thanks so much. And I hope that every time you come back here that you join us here at the Roadhouse.
Yeah, thanks, Buck. And thanks, Dave, for having us.
Thank you.